Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2017. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita School Superintendent John Allison. Welcome to Issues 2017, sir.
Thank you for having me back.
You know what? This is probably the last Issues show we'll do together.
I'm very sad.
Don't start crying. Let me say how much I've appreciated these interviews. I really have. Learned a lot. Appreciate your participation. And overall, a question. How has the media treated you during your time as Wichita superintendent, sir?
Well, I also appreciate the opportunity to come in and talk about the issues. And, overall, the media has been pretty fair.
Okay. That's pretty short, but there it is. You've taken a job in Olathe. How did that come about?
I was contacted by the search firm that was looking for the superintendent and helping the Olathe school board. Something I wasn't out looking to do, but the opportunity to do something both professionally and be close to family was important at this stage of my life.
Well, I was going to say, you do have family up in that area then.
I do. My dad passed away this summer, and my mom is still in the area, so this will allow me to be closer to her.
But is this? You've been superintendent for how long now?
Eight years.
8 years. And I would presume that from time to time you do get some offers floating in the wind, right?
You do. There aren't a lot of individuals willing to do the superintendency anymore, so there are always opportunities. But Wichita has been where my focus has stayed and maintained.
And of course, you're still going to be in Kansas, although some people think it's a whole different world between up there and down here. But will the challenges be vastly different from those you see in USD 259? Obviously, you've got a different student body, different size and all that. But what are the challenges there?
The challenges will be somewhat similar when you look at school finance and what you're trying to do to help students move forward. Olathe is the second largest school district in the state next to Wichita. So the issues that come with size will be the same. Little different student population, but in the end, what we're trying to do is take students where they walk through our doors and get them where they need to be, and that doesn't change depending on, it isn't unique to just Wichita.
What do you think is going to be the final shakeout when it comes to education funding in the Kansas legislature?
I think eventually they will put a plan together that will increase the funding as the courts have identified that they're not adequately funding schools. I think at this point in time, the problem we face is it isn't going to happen this week, and that as we continue to progress through the spring and potentially even into the summer, that becomes really problematic for school districts in establishing their budgets.
How long do you think it'll get them to, after they get something done, is it going to take months or years to get it in place? Or?
I would anticipate it'll take years to phase in just because of the tax structure and the fiscal hole that the state has created for itself. You know, the big fear is that they won't get something done by June 30th. And at that point in time, then you have the potential of schools not opening and closing as of July 1.
Well, you talked, of course, to a lot of teachers, but you also talked to a lot of parents. What are they telling you? What are they saying about all this?
You know, they're very enthusiastic about the idea that funding could increase again for public education. They've seen the cuts that we've had to make and how that has impacted their students' education. So I think they're very positive about that. They're apprehensive because there's still a lot of unknowns. When will this get done? What's it going to look like? And how will we move forward? So optimism, but very cautious optimism is what I'm getting.
You know, critics will tell you the state is spending $8,000 or $10,000 a year to educate each student. I've had them call me and point that out. That certainly sounds like a lot of money for one student. Is there nowhere that spending can be cut? That's the question we get a lot, you know.
Well, when you look at those totals, they're also including special education and English as a second language. There are going to be students that are going to take a great deal more resources to be able to educate. So when you look at that average, that's going to be across the board. We've looked at efficiencies over the last 8 years. When you've cut almost $80 million plus dollars out of your budget, we've looked at our business functions, our instructional functions. You know, we've cut administrative costs. We've looked at those areas and squeezed about as much as we can and continue to be able to maintain the programs that we are.
I think one of the points that you've made in our conversations over the past few years is that, you know, if these kids aren't getting quite as good an education, they don't get a do-over. This now or never. These kids are in the fourth grade now, and they're not going to be in the fourth grade forever.
They get
one shot.
That's it, one shot. So it's sad that we've had almost a generation of kids that have been under the school finance issues and the continued reductions. And that's not something that's going to pay dividends 10, 20 years from now as these students move into the workforce like we would like it to be for our state. So there are consequences to the decisions that have been made.
Now, you mentioned administration. Of course, that's one where I know you get a lot of criticism on administration support. They say, are we spending too much on that and not enough in the classroom?
Our general district administration is about 1% of our budget. And I would challenge to ask any business in town if they're administrative overhead is less than 1%. We're pretty lean, and we put our money into the classrooms.
Sounds pretty efficient. So how many school buses are you running? Buses cost money, too, don't they?
Buses cost money. We're operating about 439 buses a day right now.
Think about that. You know, if you're out there listening, think about it. They're running 439 buses a day. That's a lot of buses. The state legislature, again, discussing the formula for funding. And I got a feeling that the average listener says, what the heck is that all about? Why don't you walk us through the formula, what it was and what it might return to being?
Okay.
How does that work? Tell us.
The formula is when the legislature allocates the dollars to education is how are you going to allocate X amount? The previous formula provided a base number per student. So every school district in the state would get the same base amount for each student that was enrolled on September 20th. And then there were a series of weightings that were put in place. So if you have a special ed student.
Weighting as in weight, not waiting, but
right.
As in time. But
As in extra resources.
Yeah.
So it's a multiplier of the base. So if you look at special ed, there was a given weighting for each special ed student you had for English as a second language, for at-risk students based on poverty, free and reduced lunch, because we know that those students are going to come in entering kindergarten with a 30 million word gap compared to their suburban peers, that it's going to cost more to get them where they need to be. There's going to be some extra resources and support. There was a waiting for transportation. And then over time, you saw additional pieces put in place for districts that were losing enrollment, for districts that were fast growth. So it really looked at what's the cost based on a student's needs, and then providing a little extra in those areas that will cost more.
So there's a difference rural and urban then.
Exactly. Poverty does have a dramatic impact on the education of a child, but when you get into urban high-density poverty, it's even magnified more. So they recognize that. It was really a pretty progressive formula and one that, interestingly enough, has been modeled in a number of states across the country because of the way it did target dollars toward individual students and their needs.
Sounds very complicated.
You know, it's going to have to be. When you think of a school district like Wichita, 50,000 students, 75% free and reduced lunch, and you think of a district like Pretty Prairie, who's going to have a K-12 building, it's going to have to be complicated if we're getting the dollars in the right places and supporting students.
So who puts all that together? Do your administrative people put that together? Or
that was crafted by the legislature.
But how do you fulfill that? How do you have to make a report or something?
Absolutely. There's quite a bit of reporting we have to do and requirements that we need to meet so that they can designate those students. They actually count them kind of as extra phantom students is the way it plays out. So you see, 51,000 students and you're being funded at more than 51,000 students because they do it that way. I think that's a little confusing for folks to understand.
Did they change it just because they thought it was too complicated?
Exactly. And to be honest, a couple of the proposals that have been made at this point in time are far more complicated than the old formula. So
if they do a new one, it could be even more.
That was always a bit of a straw man, in my opinion, in the reason to go to block grant, which has since been found unconstitutional, and I think school folks knew that it would be.
So the basic reason to change it was probably – I think was probably to save money, right? But it didn't quite work out that way.
With the state's financial situation, they were looking to be able to freeze and to save money and to not see the education bill increase. So the concept with the block grant is, well, we'll freeze everybody. That way school districts kind of know what they're going to get financially, but we'll spend the next two years of the block grant developing a new school finance formula. But sadly, nothing was done in that 2 years, and here we are.
You mentioned something a moment ago that just it kind of went past my ear, and then I thought, hey, wait a minute, what was that all about? You mentioned the words 30 million word gap. What the heck are you talking about there?
Well, there's been several landmark studies that have taken a look at students as they enter kindergarten, and they've looked at not only their exposure to written word, but also verbally. And that when you have students coming out of homes of poverty, the likelihood of reading materials, what they're hearing, whether it's on TV or just between parents and friends and those types of things, there's a massive gap. So that's something that we know exists. And when they come into kindergarten, we know we've got a little bigger hill to climb to get those students caught up with many of their peers.
Critics of public education are minion. There are a lot of them, but I don't wonder if people don't understand that you're in a mandate to educate everybody who comes in the door just about, aren't you?
We serve everybody that shows up at our doorstep.
There you go. Can lawmakers solve this education question and balance the budget? And maybe this is not within your purview, but can they do it without raising taxes, John?
I don't believe so.
Doesn't look that way, does it?
It doesn't look that way. When you look at the fiscal hole we're in as a state, and then you look at some of the target numbers for education and other social services, it's going to require some revenue enhancements.
You're listening to Issues 2017 on the Entercom radio stations. Our guest is Wichita School Superintendent John Allison. Let's talk a little bit now about the schools themselves. Are we finished with the bond issue upgrades to the facilities?
We have a project.
It's been going on for a long time.
It has been. Over 8 years, we intended 5, and one of the first budget cuts that happened at the state level is they cut the equity payments to those property-poor school districts. So we had to step back. That was a loss of $25 million. So we needed to step back and reevaluate our bond projects and where our priorities are going to be. We've done that successfully. Robinson Middle School's auditorium is the last item we have of the bond project. So we are literally within a month or two of being done.
And the bond issue was passed what year again?
2008.
2008. the worst year we've had in several decades economically. But you think about that, and I think we've talked about this before, too. During the downtime here, the recession hit Wichita, there was actually some construction going on, and people were earning a living helping out with building schools, right?
Absolutely.
And an impact.
A huge impact to the community. The bond project really was the construction projects going on in Wichita for almost 2 years. It kept a lot of construction companies in business. It was also advantageous to us because we got fantastic pricing. So some of our early projects, we were able to come in significantly under our projected budget, which allowed us, you know, when you think a $25 million loss, allowed us to apply that savings as we move through the bond project. So it was a significant not only for our students and our families, but also for our community as a whole.
I'll go back every now and then with my classmates and go back to our alma mater, the Princeton of the Prairie West High School, and you don't even recognize it. It is nice over there. Now, when I was a kid going to school there, I wasn't even aware of my surroundings. I was focused on learning, right?
Sure, whatever you say.
Okay. Now, every school, it's that time of the year. Every school now equipped with a storm shelter. Call them safe rooms. What do you have? Storm shelters. What do you call them?
Storm shelters, yeah. Safe rooms. Absolutely, every one of our schools has a shelter, which was a key piece of the bond and something that the board, even as they had to look at the scope, that was something they didn't waver on. So we are the largest school district in the country, to our knowledge, that has a shelter in every single building.
And a lot of those are multi-purpose rooms, aren't they?
Multi-purpose rooms, cafeteria, classrooms, whatever that particular school needed, that's where we were able to add and do double duty in getting what they needed and also a safe room.
Are all the other school districts in the state able to say that they have shelters in all their schools?
No, most of them are not able to say that.
Okay. Wow. A little scary there. How is security in the schools these days?
Security's great in our schools. That's an investment that we've made over the last several years with our check-in system, our single door, so that we're getting folks through the office to start with. Our parents have been very supportive of that, and it's been very positive. So our schools are very safe.
Have the teachers and the educators in the various schools in Wichita, have they talked to or presented to the students about the dangers of social media and threats and things like that? Do you communicate that with the kids?
Absolutely. And we do that. We've got a number of ways to do it, and we do it age appropriately. So that message for a fifth grader is going to be different than for a seventh, eighth grader or a junior in high school. But that's the reality of the world we live in. And that continues to push down younger and younger.
Yeah.
And something that we're trying to address.
Tell us about test scores. Where USD 259 ranks, any improvements being made? How's it going?
We're definitely making academic improvements. You take a look at our graduation rate, up almost 20% over the last 6 years. The state assessment has continued to change. And really over the last 8 years, we've had a couple years of the old assessment, and we were seeing good gains. Then we didn't really have a state assessment as they were developing the new one, and we're into year two on the new state assessment. So it gives us a target and an idea of where we need to grow. So we're seeing growth incrementally. It takes time, not as much growth as we'd like to see, but we're making progress and continuing to refine that. So I'm very optimistic about where we'll go as a district moving forward.
What can you say about your confidence that any Wichita students who want to get a good education, they can get it at USD 259? I mean, you can't force them, but if they want it, they can get a good education?
Absolutely, and that hasn't changed in schools, you know, ever.
Okay.
I've got two graduates from Southeast High School, and they were both very well prepared for college and the ability to deal with people in society as they move forward and have been successful. So absolutely, we can provide a top-notch education for every student that comes through our doors.
All right, talk about the teachers a little bit.
We have fantastic teachers.
Okay.
And that's, you know, it becomes a more difficult job every year. The workload increases when you have fewer and fewer resources. you know, that puts burden on our teaching staff. It's becoming hard to find teachers.
I was going to say, we've talked about a shortage.
We've talked about the shortage, and I don't see that's something that I think is a great concern for every school district in the state, and really in many places across the country on the teacher shortage that we're looking at over the next three to 5 years is really going to have an impact on our schools.
What is the future then of the teaching profession? Is it something that still something that you would encourage people to look into?
Absolutely. I would encourage people to look into. I think part of what we're fighting, one has been the fiscal reality, cuts, layoffs, lack of raises for teachers. And at the same time, the teaching profession's been maligned in the media quite a bit. And when you're thinking about picking the profession, what you're going to do for the rest of your life, and you continue to hear the negative aspects, that may be a strong reason why we're not getting students that are looking in college to go into teaching.
Still not as bad as attorneys or journalists, huh?
I'm not touching that one.
All right. Has it been a good school board to work with? Are these people difficult down there on Monday nights?
No, they're fantastic. I've been very blessed.
Do they earn their pay?
they are volunteers 100%. Yeah. There is not a penny that they get for the work and the time that they put in. I don't think anybody realizes that this is really a full-time job. They've been incredibly supportive. They're all in it for the right reasons, which is to do the right thing for our students and our community. And you can't always say that because it is an elected position. They're not seeing as it stepping stones to something else.
No.
And you look at the longevity on our board, and that speaks volumes, that these folks are dedicated and committed to our students.
Well, I've heard some pretty interesting things about your replacement, the new superintendent. What's she going to be like, I wonder?
She's going to be fantastic.
I haven't heard anything.
She's going to be fantastic.
I'm kidding.
Dr. Thompson is a Wichita product, kindergarten on. Her teaching career, administrative career has all been in the Wichita Public Schools. She will be fantastic as she leads the district moving forward. And I just continue to, as I look down the path, I think there are great things in store for the district under her leadership.
What are the biggest challenges you face in your job here as superintendent?
Well, I think you've got a number. Of course, there's financial. You look at finding good quality staff, teachers, administrators, custodians is always difficult. And to continue to engage our community. I think it's very important that our schools are the community schools, and to make sure that we have the business partnerships and the civic partnerships that we need, and we do. We have unbelievable support in our schools, and to make sure that continues is always something that we have to focus on.
What are your proudest achievements or successes? Can you name one or two for us?
I can name as many as you want.
I don't have a lot of time.
The first would be where we've gone academically. We've looked at how we've restructured our academics and our behavior systems to support our students. Completion of the bond. And you think of all the progress we've made in light of $80-plus million dollars of cuts in being able to continue to move forward under some pretty tough circumstances, I think is very much a tribute to our board and our staff in their dedication to our students.
We talk to these taxpayers out there. I don't want to pay taxes for some other kids, but somebody else's kids are good. What do you say to the taxpayers who don't think they have a stake in the game here?
Well, this is absolutely your future. Previous generations paid for your kids. And this is part of what makes, I think, America special, is the idea that every student is entitled to a free and appropriate public education, and that this is part of our civic responsibility. These are the individuals that are going to pay our Social Security moving forward, so it's really important that we prepare them to be successful.
What are you going to miss most about USD 259 when you go to Olathe here in a few weeks, a month?
We don't have a lot of time. The people. I mean, such an incredible group of dedicated professionals, the community support. It was a difficult decision. My wife and I had made Wichita home, it wasn't an easy decision. But I think overall it's the people. Wichita's a special place and has some incredibly passionate individuals. And that's probably what I'll miss most.
If you had the new superintendent in the same room with you right now, what would you say to her as a piece of advice taking the job. If she was in the same room.
If she was in the same room. You know, be true to yourself. She's a passionate individual about students and what we want for our students, not only whether it's achievement or through extracurricular activities, those types of things. Just stay true to what you believed over the years. It doesn't change when you're superintendent, and you'll do an exceptional job if you do that.
And when people get in her face about something that doesn't seem fair, what you need to do, count to 10 or what?
Count to 10, and then what
and
I try to do.
Count to 10 again.
go visit a school. Walk into a classroom.
Are you kidding? Is that
absolutely
what, really?
See the students and remind yourself why we're there and who we fight daily for are those kids sitting in the classroom.
Well, listen, thanks for your time as always, and thanks for being part of this Issues Show over the past 7 years. I've enjoyed talking with you and enjoyed knowing you, John, and to you and your family. All of our best wishes for great success in Olathe when you go up there, and nice to have you with us once in a while.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Our guest, Wichita School Superintendent John Allison. That's all for this edition of Issues 2017. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.